In today's episode, host Jesse Tyler is joined by John Durgan of King Arthur Baking and Gary Boutillier of Sirtronics. Like most of Jesse's guests, John and Gary are rank-and-file employee owners at their respective firms. Because they don't work in sound studios, there are a couple of places where the audio is not as clear as we'd like, and in a few spots you'll even hear the paging system at one of the companies. We hope you'll agree that what you're hearing makes it worth overlooking any audio issues. In a few moments, you'll hear Jesse's conversation with John and Gary, beginning with our host, Jesse Tyler.
Welcome to the Owner to Owner podcast with your host, Jesse Tyler, part of the EO Podcast Network.
What I want to start with is having each of you give a brief introduction, your full name, your company, you know, how long you've been there, your title and what you do, and if you want to talk about participation in your program, how long you've been part of the ESOP program or vested, that's certainly your option. But it's really just to give the listeners in your own voices, you know, a brief insight into who you are and what you do. And then I'll jump right in with the first question about when you talk about ownership, when you're out in the world and not around other owners, how do you talk about it? You want to start, John?
Sure. Well, my name is John Durgan, and I work here at King Arthur Baking, and I've been here, I've been here 13 years on November 12th, and that's the date that I remember because it's important internally for us. I work in facilities, and I've been working on this team for a number of years, and I have also been involved with our ESOP committee pretty much since the first year I started, and I recently rolled off that about a year ago. And I like to consider myself, I'm fully vested within our ESOP for retirement, and I kind of keep an eye on that. But other than that, I've been here that amount of time, and I love working here.
Thank you very much. Gary, could you introduce yourself as well?
Yeah, my name is Gary Boutillier. I'm the corporate technical trainer here at Sirtronics Corporation. Basically, what I do is, like yourself, I do introductory training for new employees, whether it's an assembler or vice president of engineering coming in, doesn't. And we go through culture, we go through ownership, and a variety of other things. And when I'm not doing that, which is most of the time, I'm doing brain dumps out on the floor. How do I do this? How do we do that? I've been with the company 28 years.
Wow.
Our ESOP we started in 2002. I was very privileged to be one of the eight employees that were part of the advisory committee that advised the owner on how do we work the RISA laws into what's fair for everybody. And we spent 2 years before we actually decided to become an ESOP. So it was a lot of planning. And I don't want to dominate this, but I can't say enough about the company I work for. And I'm sure both of you feel the same way. I know a lot about Hypertherm, and my wife can tell you so much about King Arthur because she uses it. I mean, that's all she uses. So, you know, I'm sure you guys could do the same thing with your companies.
That's great. Yeah, we are a King Arthur flour company. We baking company products. That is what we use. We don't buy anything else. And so it's fun. And I know, Gary, that your company, Sirtronics and Hypertherm, have worked together in the past and maybe can work together in the future, and that'd be great. So looking forward to this conversation with you. So the goal of this podcast and this time with you, John and Gary, is to really hear in your own voices, your own stories, your own insights, your experience in ownership, and really what it means to you, how it's impacted your life. Those are the topics we want to explore. And so the goal is kind of two-part for what we want to do, is that other owners can hear from you who haven't met you yet or other parts of the country, different phases or stages of their ownership journey. We had a guest from Admix who is 6 months into her time at Admix, and Sarah is very well-spoken, incredibly passionate, talking about ownership culture, being part of the ownership team. And so what I find really interesting in my work at Hypertherm by welcoming all of our new associates is how quickly, within a few weeks, they can be very eloquent on what ownership means to them, even though they're technically not participating. So for the different range of experience with John, your 13 years, Gary, your 28 years, and my 14 and a half, that would be a common audience to ask about ownership. And I find it interesting to talk to the whole career span, because I see every other week, I see these new associates just fired up and excited and being able to talk about it effectively. So it's fun to hear from all the different ranges of ownership. So we want to have owners hear from both of you. But there's also a benefit for the larger good of ownership, employee ownership growing in our country, if some of the business owners that are considering employee ownership as a path for them to exit their business and take care of their employees, they can hear from you directly as well. And that's one of the bigger goals of the work that I'm doing for the EO Podcast Network, is just letting those voices come through. So if you're ready, we're going to dive right in. All right. So how do you talk about ownership when you're out in the world and not around other owners? Gary, you want to start us off?
I think that most people want to do quality work and they want to be rewarded for it. Ownership tends to bring it to a totally different level. I own stocks in 6 different companies outside of Sertronics. I have no means or ways of controlling how that stock price goes up and down. And it's not just about the money. It's about the value that you bring to the company and the company returns to you. And I think ownership, I love when I introduce myself to people who come into this building and tell them, hi, I'm Gary, I'm one of the owners. It's just, it gives you a feeling of pride. And it's a different level of being part of a company. That's the best way I can describe it.
Thank you for sharing that. John, when you talk about ownership when you're out in the world and not around other owners that know about ESOP's culture or the wealth building capability of the program, how do you talk about it with them?
You know, it's kind of twofold. Oftentimes, people ask where I work, and I tell them I work at King Arthur Baking, and they get excited. Oh, you know, we love your company and all that sort of stuff. But then a lot of folks don't understand what an ESOP is. So I might have to give them a little bit of background, like, well, you know, we really, you know, own shares of the company and how that comes about. And just to sort of get them focused on what is an ESOP or employee ownership. But then I really get into, to echo what Gary said, is it's a whole different feeling, you know, and I came from a world like most other people. You work for yourself, or you work for someone else in a different company, and you always like to go to work and do a good job and think that you do. But when you are an owner and you've got skin in the game, it's a completely different thing, because you really can impact your stock price and how your customers respond to you and your product. And I don't care what you make, bake or anything else, we're all sort of indirectly retail facing in the end. Our customers, we have wholesale retail customers, just like you do, Gary, and on Hypertherm, and how they perceive you, they know when you're doing a good job. They know when you've got that culture where it shines through. You know, they know everybody at Hypertherm wants to do a great job. They're great to deal with. And being an owner and having that empowerment is so different than working for even the best normal, quote, company out there. And I try to get that. You know, I mean, people just aren't in that loop. They can see it and they get it. It's just something that comes shining through. So that's kind of where I go with it when I talk to them.
Yeah, that's great. And I appreciate you both sharing. Gary, you want to add anything?
Yeah, just one little thing. I heard, John, you talk about culture. I am pretty familiar with the culture at Hypertherm, and it mirrors ours. Community service, it just goes on and on and on. It's how you serve the other employees. It's how you serve the community. What I have found is if ESOPs, and I don't know if it's the company embraces the ESOP or vice versa, but most of the companies that I have experienced who are ESOP companies and they've done it for the right reasons all have that culture, that giving, that it's amazing. It perpetuates.
Yeah, and it's the most important thing in the big picture, in my opinion. You know, one of the things that we tell new companies or companies that are looking to become ESOPs is that just by becoming an ESOP isn't going to make you great. It's just not how it works. A bad company is going to be a bad company, and making an ESOP isn't going to change anything. Unless you get the culture piece and you can get everybody thinking like an owner and acting like an owner, then you can develop a good product and that good internal culture that will drive that company. So it's that kind of a feeling that needs to be instilled within any ESOP to make it work, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think of sort of the foundational culture and then the ownership culture. I personally find it fascinating to, if you just pause a moment on the great enthusiasm for the culture experience and wealth building of being an ESOP, being an employee-owned company, and you look at the foundational culture and values, I like to think that those are all strong and the ownership magnifies that. expands that, illuminates that even more so. Because if you don't have that, that's what I hear you saying, John, too, and Gary as well, is if you don't have those strong values and openness and trust, then ownership can have a limited relevance to how people behave, you know, to deliver on the share value in the daily experience. So it's great to hear that from you. So I asked you about being out in the world and sharing it. I want to bring it a little closer to home, literally. How do you talk about ownership with your friends and your family? How do you share that with them?
I think you have to break it down. Most people don't understand what an ESOP is. I when I first heard about ESOP, impression was it was a shell game, you know, a way of playing without money. But I served on the committee and I worked with Alex Moss and other people, and I began to understand that what we're doing, at least here at Certronics, is we're trying to find a way of taking the original owner who built the company and moving that way of doing business, that culture, that caring, that thing, to the employees. And the ESOP is just one of the ways that we do it. I mean, there's other things. ESOP is one component of it. It's a major component. And basically what it is it's a way of you having value in your company. The more work you put in, the longer you're there, the more the company thrives, the more you're rewarded. It's a simple concept.
John, what are your thoughts?
You know, I agree. You know, when I talk to the public and then I talk to my family, it's or in friends, it's very similar, but I do get into the weeds a little bit more with my family for sure, because they understand it. And I have a large and an extended family and a tight group of friends, and they understand more about it now since I sort of, quote, educated them. But it's a retirement vehicle, really, is what an ESOP is. It's very core. And, you know, that just doesn't happen by itself. And it's because of all of us in our company working together to make it work so that we can earn more money into our share accounts, right? Because really, in the end, that's what we're looking for. But it's more than that. You know, my friends and especially my family, they get that ownership component because they understand how important it is. And some of them have worked for themselves. Some of them work for companies that they, you know, they enjoy working with, but they don't, you know, they have their benefits. They have their 401ks and such, but they don't have what we have, which is real shares and real money in the company. And sometimes I get jealous about that. And I laugh because it's like, no, it's a really good deal, but it takes work and it doesn't happen all by itself. It just doesn't materialize. So yeah, I dig down a little bit more when I talk to them about that so that they have a little better understanding of it. And I try not to bore them because when their eyes glaze over, then I know I've probably gone too much.
Yeah. Somebody very enthusiastic about the employee ownership experience can definitely bring some energy to that conversation. So specific to each of you, what does ownership mean to you? I'm asking the big question, intentionally open question. What does ownership mean to you?
That's a tough one. It really is. I'm going to put it the way I think about it on a regular basis. Ownership makes me care for my company, for my fellow employees. It makes me care. And I understand, because part of my company is being given to me. I didn't go out and buy it. The shares, the ownership was given to me. And it tells me that caring is my company's way of giving back to me and caring about me. If I'm going to have a large chunk of my company given to me over a 15 or 20 year period, and John, you can appreciate this because I don't know about you, but I'm not far away from retirement. They cared enough to do that for me. So I want to give back any way I can. I don't know if that's a good what you're looking for, but that's the way I think about it.
It's exactly what I'm looking for, is in your own words, in your own experience. Yeah. And if it helps for context, through ownership teamwork and our onboarding programs, we do a cultural immersion is the program that I designed. And it can be up to 20 hours of intensive onboarding about our values, culture, communication, products, customers, markets, competencies, all of those things. And so I've asked probably 800 of my coworkers over the last few years, what does ownership mean to you? Asking that same question. And there can be themes of pride and care and other elements that come through. I've never had an answer be the same as another one before. They're always different. They're like a fingerprint.
Yeah.
So we can all have a hand, we can all have a thumb, but that fingerprint is going to be different. And that's you've added another one to that. So it's just a wonderful thing to hear people find their way through expressing that. So John, I'll bring it to you.
What does it mean to me? Well, there's a lot of things it means to me, but to me, being part of something that I have some direct control over to affect sort of the performance of the company and how it does, I mean, that's in my control. I'm part of something larger than me, but it's also part of me. It's a feeling of pride, and it's a feeling of sort of camaraderie in some respects. You know, I feel like I'm on the very same team, whether I'm in the facilities and operation aspect that I'm in, or somebody working in direct sales with retail customers or packing boxes in the other building. So it means all those things to me, but it's very, very, very prideful, I think. I just, you know, it has a lot of meaning because I know it directly affects my income, but not just my income. It affects someone working at the retail store in the bakery and in any different department. I'm kind of working for them in the end. Steve, who used to be one of our CEOs, used to say, I'm really working for, you know, Mrs. Smith over there packing boxes so that she can retire. I have to do a good job. She's going to retire before me. I need to make sure I do a good job so that she can retire. So if everybody's thinking in that terms, it sort of works, right? But it means all those things to me, and I'm rambling on, but that's kind of where I'm at with it, you know?
Yeah, it's great to hear your share. So I want to take that a little bit farther with both of you, and John, maybe you could pick this up, and then we'll go to Gary. How does being an owner impact how you think about and interact with your customers?
That's actually a really good question, and I think about that a lot because I my background is I came from the retail business in other aspects of my life, and I know that even if I'm not in the retail store seeing customers, it seems if I don't do a good job for the people I'm trying to help out, they cannot do a good job, and it will impact them either negatively if I do a poor job and don't have the right attitude, or it will impact them positively. So in my position is to support other people, whether it's with machinery or contractors or lots of different things. In the end, I know, as I spoke earlier, we're all retail facing. It's very important that I satisfy my internal customers. Like if the oven in the bakery, one of them's not working properly, they can't do their job. So I need to get that working so that they can do their job and put out the best product that they can. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, thank you for that. Gary, how does being an owner impact how you think about and support your customers at Sertronics?
Well, I don't work directly with our customers. I did in the past, but I think that I look at training, which is what I do, as the more educated our workforce is, the better quality we're going to put out. And we have an extremely low RMA rate. I mean, our returns are 0.2%.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's because people take a tremendous amount of pride in what they do. I will give you a real quick example. We had a potential customer, well, there were several of them, walking through the facility yesterday, and they were interested in our training program. And I came around the corner and they said, oh, you know, isn't this unique? I mean, it's funny. Here's our trainer. And I introduced myself. And what I said to them was, I really appreciate you taking the time to come in and visit us and see what we do. But I got to tell you, I'm a little biased, but you're going to love what you see. That's the reaction I got from them. If you don't care about your customers, I mean, really care, really, really care, you're doomed. I mean, that they are everything. You know, you can do community service. You can do ESOPs. You can do all kinds of things. But if you don't take care of number one, your customer, those other things are not going to be there. That's really what it comes down to.
That's great. Yeah, I do, as part of my role at Hypotherm, I've given hundreds of tours, and that goes from prospective new employees up through the governor, senators, CEOs working with Tuck at Dartmouth. There's a CEO training program. They love to come and visit Hypotherm, so John Deere, Rolls-Royce, all of these CEOs, and their favorite part is to walk the floor and see the associates and understand what they do and just meet them. And it's an amazing vibe, amazing feeling when you're a customer or a channel partner of an employee-owned company and you walk in and people pretty happy to be there and willing to help out. And so it's a joy over the years to see how people coming in are kind of caught off guard, almost in a good way. It's not always a negative term. You know, they're caught off guard, like, hey, you know, do you want to meet so-and-so? Do you want to see this? And just to sort of watch them be like, huh, there's something different. There's something different in the air here. So it's fun to see that. So with new coworkers in mind, with what both of you do in your different roles, how do you help them understand ownership? This is a big concept from a retirement vehicle, yes, but even if they're far from retirement, there's something else going on here. How do you help your new coworkers start to get their hands around ownership?
Well, we do it in a multifold, if you will, training. All new employees, regardless of what their position is, will spend 2 or 3 or 4 hours with me one-on-one. We go through the history of the company and the culture and why we do the things that we do and what makes us different. And then Jesse, you also know, picks up and she will go through what an ESOP is and everything from investing to diversification, the whole nine yards. Then we back that up by having events. If you do this, I'm sure you do. But we have little things where we have a little party and we give people big umbrellas and the umbrellas on them say saving for a rainy day. There's a bunch of different things. Frequently in your paycheck or if you do it electronically, we'll give you a big puzzle sheet and it's all ESOP terms. And the 2 or 3 people who we pick out of a jar who get all of the terms right will get a gift certificate. It's those type of things. But to me, education of ESOP is just about new employees. It's about constantly reminding the employees just how important ownership in the company is. It starts with, maybe your first week, but you have to reinforce it on a continuous basis. That's my
point. Thanks for that. John, how do you help new coworkers at King Arthur Baking start to get their hands around ownership?
I'm going to read into that question a little bit. There's a couple things that we do and then that I do. We also have an onboarding program that's pretty extensive and, do the tour of the building. And it's a minimum of 2 days. The new group goes through I think we do it quarterly now, or pre-COVID we did anyhow. And we have all sorts of different things that they can do within those 2 days to sort of acclimate to at least where things are, who people are, and where departments are. Personally, with the onboarding program, we not all of us are signed up for that, but I am, and we have a couple minions that we get to pick or assigned to us, and then we help them dig deeper into the ownership culture, and we'll answer questions for them. We'll try to get them more familiar, whether it's in their department or even other departments, to see how they all interact and be there to answer questions and sort of usher them through this whole new concept to most of them about employee ownership. Personally, what I try to do is whether they're on the onboarding program or not, if I'm in a building and I see somebody who is new, I'll always introduce myself and try to answer any questions they may have and make sure that they're comfortable. There's nothing worse than starting in a new company and no one knows where anything is or who to talk to or what direction to go to. So once they're comfortable with all that, besides the classes that we offer, which they will be taking as they go through their journey to become an employee owner and become fully vested, I try to take them under my arm and instill some of that excitement that I have and get them headed in the right direction. Because I think it's incumbent upon all employee owners to do that. But let's face it, not all of them are going to do that because there's different kinds of personality everybody has, right? And I have one of those personalities that is sort of not dominant, but more influencing. I'm not that cautious, steady Eddie person, which is not a negative thing, but that's just who I am. So I think it's my responsibility personally when I interact with any employee owner, including ones that have been here for a while, keep them pointed in the right direction and answer any questions that they may have.
That's great. Yeah, it's interesting for me to see on the first morning of your first day, every other week we bring new associates in at Hypertherm and we start with ownership right out of the gate and say, okay, we're New England's largest employee, 100% employee owned. We're probably 30th biggest in the country. Has anyone worked at an employee owned company? And occasionally, a couple times out of several hundred of our recent associates, have we had somebody that did have that experience. And when they do, I try to get them on board to help. And they can start and sort of explain what may or may not be different with the experience. And there's a lot to take in. It's their first morning. Most people don't sleep well. They're nervous. They're a little restless. And they sort of blink. They sort of maybe ask a couple of questions. But when we get them back 30 to 60 days later for the 2-day intensive, it sounds like our companies do something very similar. It is completely wild to see how far into it some of them can be. And so what I start with on day one and just try to plant the seed is, it's one thing to say that you want your voice to matter at work. It's another thing to get used to the fact that it does matter right now. I know you just got here, but your voice matters. You're bringing fresh talents, fresh eyes, fresh ways to think of profitability and safety and speed and comfort and other things. And it's amazing because everyone has sort of a different pace to their journey. They're hiking that trail, but they're all at a slightly different pace. So it's very interesting to look at four new coworkers that some can just snap right into it, and others have had really hard experiences.
Part two of Jesse's conversation with John and Gary will be released Wednesday, December 29th, 2021. We hope you'll check it out.
We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter at EO Podcast Network. This podcast has been produced by Brett Kiesling for the EO Podcast Network. Production assistance by Victoria Huerta. Original music composed by Max Kiesling. Branding and marketing by Bitsy Plus Design. And I'm Bitsy McCann.